And on the line, I have Michael Mulcahy. Good evening, Michael.
Hey, Shane, how are you doing?
I'm good, yeah, good. I introduced you earlier on today as the sleep expert, and I suppose, and I was also mentioning that a lot of people are struggling with sleep at the moment anyway with the humidity, but yeah. I'm sure that's a separate matter to what you need to talk about, and I suppose even my own reference around sleep, like I must say, if I don't have 5 or 6 hours sleep, it does affect my mood and it does affect my energy levels and stuff like that. And I suppose knowing that you were coming on tonight, I was thinking about things that people do around sleep. Like, they don't have the energy, they go to chocolate and they go to sweets and they go to whatever they can to get that sugar buzz to actually step into it. I suppose that's probably one of the obvious things, and coffee, obviously, for people, I suppose, when they don't have enough sleep.
It's like a vicious cycle in a way, you know. The more you consume these other stuff to give you energy boost, the more it can be draining your energy.
Yeah.
Like the big thing for sleep is that's when our body heals at nighttime. And one of the important things that people may not be aware of is also our brain goes through a detox process at nighttime as well.
Okay.
So like throughout the day, like our body goes through a healing process. However, nighttime when we're in that deep level of sleep, that's ramped up. So like all our cells, is what make up our body.
Mm-hmm.
And in our cells, there's something called mitochondria. And these are like the powerhouses that provide energy for us. So if we're not getting good quality deep sleep, it's not giving sufficient time for our body to heal and repair and for our mitochondria to regenerate. So with that then, our energy level is going to be lower the next day. And if this is affecting people long-term, it's going to be long-term effect on energy levels.
Mm.
So that's in when people reach for the sugar food or the coffee and stuff to give them that boost of energy.
And obviously then that obviously has a knock-on effect of weight and so many other things, you know. And as you said, like, I mean, when you continuously don't have, I suppose, as I said, a lot of people can probably reflect over the last 7 or 8 days, you know, that the heat and nighttime, they're not sleeping and they're that little bit grumpy. I would imagine us talking on the radio, there's a lot more than normally would that would actually relate to what we're saying and how that is affecting their next day, you know.
Yeah, and like it's, regards heat, it's when our body goes into a cooler temperature, we sleep better.
Mm.
So like it's, in an ideal world, again, we want to have a cooler temperature in our bedroom, because then it signals our body it's time to go to sleep and our body's temperature goes down. So the ideal kind of temperature is between 15 and 19 degrees. But with the weather at the moment, a lot of people are going to be kind of knocked out of their sleep routine with the heat.
And I mean, we addressed there about what actually happens for people, but I mean, the long-term effect of sleep, you know, I mean, it has a lot of mental health issues, you know, anxiety, stress, you know, so many other things that it causes in ourselves, doesn't it?
Yeah, like lack of sleep is going to make people more sensitive to stress. So it's going to weaken the immune system, so people can easily get overwhelmed. What's going on for them? They're going to be more emotionally reactive to situations, so more irritable, frustrated easier, cognitive functioning, so ability to focus on something, attention, decision-making, it's all going to be affected with poor quality sleep. How we think patterns through. We may not be able to rationalize things as easy, and our emotional regulation then as well can be knocked out of balance as well, and that's all going to affect anxiety levels. And times can be like a vicious cycle, because when people are overthinking, okay, I can't sleep, it can raise anxiety levels, then that's going to raise the negative thinking in the head, then that's going to racing thoughts, going to affect your sleep. Again, so it's like a vicious cycle feeling caught up in.
So I mean, I suppose ideally, you know, if you're looking at people, you know, the first thing you should be asking them is what's your sleep and how's your sleep pattern and stuff like that, you know.
And like it's also around sleep hygiene, Because it's a lot, I suppose, of what people do before sleep and when they wake up in the morning has a big impact on their quality sleep. Like, if I suppose one of the major things that I make people aware of is something around light. Our body is regulated by daylight. It's like our body clock, so our circadian rhythm, and that's regulated by daylight. So when people get up in the morning, again, in the ideal world, we want to get in daylight within 30 minutes of getting up in the morning, and that signals our body it's daytime.
Okay.
So the sun gives off the full spectrum of colors of light. However, in the morning, particularly the blue light from the sun signals our body it's daytime. So when the blue light hits the eyes, that sends a signal to our hormonal system, and that secretes different hormones. In the afternoon, the sun doesn't give off blue light. However, we get blue light from all types of screens.
Okay, yeah.
And people are looking at screens, phones, iPads, TVs, everything, even down from little lights on dishwashers and washing in the evening. That's telling your body it's daytime. And that's signaling your body to wake up.
Okay. So hence, people who look at their phone before they go to sleep and stuff like that, that's not ideal anyhow.
Yeah, it's going to affect getting to sleep, and it's going to affect them going to the deep levels of sleep.
Yeah.
So like if people can't get, you know, I know it's difficult with life and family life, may not be able to get daylight within 30 minutes, however, getting at least before 10 a.m.
Okay.
Because that kind of sets your clock. So the later in the day you're getting daylight, the later what's called melatonin is produced in the evening, and that's what helps your body to sleep.
But I mean, we live in Ireland, and you know, we're supposed to have a bit of cloud tomorrow and stuff like that. Does it matter if there's cloud?
No, you're getting light anyway.
Okay.
You know, as long as you're getting light. There is something called a lamp people can get. Like I recommend them to people.
Okay.
Particularly in winter, it's like it's a sad lamp. You sit in front of it for 10, 15 minutes in the morning, and that simulates the effect from daylight. They're about, you can get it for 35
I got one, and I think they're great. Like, I think it cost me 30, 35 euros on Amazon, like, you know.
Yeah. The important thing for people when they are getting one, that it does say 10,000 lux. LUX, that's strength of the light.
Okay.
You know, people can make them, have them on front of their table in the morning having breakfast, as long as you don't have to be looking straight at it. You know, it's in arm's reach and it's peripheral vision, that light's hitting your face. People can use them throughout the day then as well for an energy boost. However, no later than 4 p.m. not to use them.
Oh yeah, because that's keeping. And I mean, speaking of mobile phones and stuff, what's the recommended that people don't, you know, that they put their mobile phone away before they go to sleep?
I would suggest as early as possible, but at least 1 to 2 hours before bed.
Okay.
And again, it's something people are not aware of, is the signals coming from phones. So you've got Bluetooth, you've got Wi-Fi, and the actual phone signal itself. All these signals disrupt our body going to deeper sleep.
Yeah.
So if people have their phones next to their bed or under their pillows, that is going to affect the quality of the sleep, because if you've got the Bluetooth, the Wi-Fi signals and the phone signals as well, and it's going to stop your body going to that deeper sleep.
So ideally your phone should be left outside of the room you're in.
Yeah. And I understand, like, a lot of people will be using it for alarms, so you can put on the phone to airplane mode.
Yeah.
And there's also something called night light or nightshade on devices.
Okay.
That puts a bit of a yellow tint on the screen. It doesn't block all the blue light.
Okay.
It reduces it.
Like,
you can get blue light blocking glasses.
Okay.
I highly recommend those for people as well. I recommend those to all clients as well. And you can put these on in the evenings. There's two kind of colors, of yellow and a dark red. So the yellow ones, they block about 70% of the blue light. And you can wear those. If people get eye strain from looking at computers during the day, they can use those glasses.
Okay.
And then, like, I've got a pair of each. So about an hour or so, 2 hours before bed, I put on the dark or redder pair, mm-hmm. and that blocks 100% the blue light.
All right, okay.
And then that allows you to go to sleep.
Okay.
Easier.
So if you're watching television or something like that, these are the type of glasses you should put on.
Yeah.
And does it affect what you're actually seeing on the screen or anything like that?
Yeah, so it's totally like a bit of a yellow tint if okay. you're wearing the yellow glasses, or like if you're wearing the darker color glasses, it will make the picture darker.
Okay.
Like the other thing you can get for lights, like I have them around the house as well, they're red lights, because red light is fine in the evening.
Okay.
You can, the little sensor lights I have around the house there, so they light up the place, you know, if you're moving around and stuff like that, but they don't disturb or disrupt your body going to sleep.
Okay. So all these bits and pieces help to get a good night's sleep?
Yeah. It's all vital, and like sleep is vital for so much in the body, because like if lack of sleep, it can affect your weight, diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, anxiety, depression. Like one of the big things, and a lot of research has come out in the last number of years, is around, like I mentioned earlier, about the brain goes through a detox cycle at nighttime. So there's something in the brain called the glymphatic system. And this is like the waste clearing system in the brain. And this goes into work when you're asleep, when you're in the deeper levels of sleep. And this is cleaning out all the toxins and the day-to-day processing in the brain. So if this cycle is missed, there can be a buildup of plaque in the brain. And then later in life, this can lead on to brain conditions like Alzheimer's and dementia.
Okay.
So again, sleep is vital as well for brain health.
Yeah. And what's the, how long is, you know, you hear lots of different things about how much sleep you should actually get. You know, I would have been told 8 hours sleep is the optimum amount of sleep that you should get in a night.
Yeah. So it varies. Kids about 9 hours,
okay.
7 to 8 hours. But the important thing is the quality of your sleep. If someone's getting 8 hours sleep, but they're not getting to deeper levels of sleep, I'd nearly prefer getting 5 hours of good quality sleep.
Yeah.
5 to 6 hours of good quality sleep than 8 hours of average sleep.
Yeah.
Because when you're getting to that deeper sleep levels, that's when your body repairs and that's when your brain heals.
Yeah. I must admit I'm lucky. I've always been a great sleeper. I can just sleep. I get into bed, I put my head in the pillow and I'm asleep. And I know I get good quality of sleep, but I've always been like that. I literally can just sleep. But it's great to be able to have that. And I do know from lots of other people and from clients and stuff like that how many people do struggle with sleep and sleep patterns and stuff like that. And I suppose since I've started doing so much work on myself about being present and doing meditations and stuff like that has probably helped a lot as well, like, you know.
Yeah. And like going back to something you mentioned there earlier about you were on the beach and earthing and grounding. That's actually one of the best things we can do for our health as well, is connecting with the earth. And what happens is we bring the negative charge when we get feet or skin to the earth. We bring a negative charge into the body. So, you know, people might get static shocks when they touch metal or dough cars, get that kind of static shock.
Yeah.
So that's an indication of too much positive charge in the body.
All right, okay.
So when you walk barefoot on the ground or on the beach is the best place, you're bringing that negative charge into the body. And that helps to thin the blood. It helps with our nervous system because our cells need a slightly negative charge to function well. So actually walking the bare feet, grounding, earthing is all great for health that way.
Yeah, I must, just as you were saying that there, I was just thinking since I've started doing an awful lot more grounding and an awful lot more walking barefoot, you know, and obviously I have the privilege of being very close to the beach, you know, I haven't actually got electric shocks off cars or off any metal device in a long time, I must say.
And
I didn't realise that the metal shock shock that people get was from the fact that they actually aren't doing enough grounding.
Yeah, and I... Again, it goes back to the environment we have now, there's more technology in our environment, and it's all positive charge, electric positive charge. And when there's too much charge, then that thickens the blood. So you can imagine then there may not be enough oxygen flowing in the blood, nutrients flowing in the blood. Like every breath you take in, 25% of that is used by the brain.
Okay.
So if you haven't got sufficient blood flow to the brain, that's going to affect our function in the brain as well.
Okay. So these are all the things that don't work for people. So what can people do to help themselves sleep? Now, you suggested different things around the house. You suggested the glasses that people can do. You know, I suppose for me as a therapist, I think a lot of people, you know, it's about, you know, to a certain extent, putting to bed everything that you've done in the day, that, you know, that you feel that you've actually accomplished everything. I think one of the things that happens to a lot of people with lack of sleep is the fact that they, you know, they're worrying about things that they've done in the day, and that they might have did something wrong. And I suppose for me, I would suggest journaling, and I think journaling is really powerful, you know, way of actually kind of just ridding yourself of any thoughts or anything like that that are going around in your mind, so that you can have a good night's sleep. What other techniques do you think that people can do?
Yeah, like I suppose one thing that I say to people as well is when you are having these negative thoughts, just ask yourself the question, who is this affecting? It's bringing awareness to a negative cycle of thoughts. And most time, you know, if something happened during the day in work, that argument simply, and we bring that home, what's going on in our minds, and who's it affecting more so? It's affecting you having the negative thoughts. So it's kind of, I say, journaling will help writing those thoughts, negativity out. Like talking earlier about breathing exercise, relaxation before bed. Again, getting daylight earlier in the day, that helps to regulate your body clock and allows you to sleep better than at nighttime. Removing sources of EMF, so these are signals from phones, Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. So turning off your phone or turning it to airplane mode, turning off the Wi-Fi routers at nighttime, particularly if people keep routers or Wi-Fi in their bedroom, because that can affect the quality of sleep. Things like magnesium supplement, that helps the body, the muscles to relax at nighttime.
So people, when they're taking magnesium, they should really take it only in the evening, is it?
Yeah, so I suggest people take it in the evening. Like it depends on, I suppose I can test people for magnesium levels as well. So it depends if they need it once or twice a day. However, if it's for sleep, it's good to take it in the evening.
Okay.
Vitamin D will help as well.
Yeah.
Anything you can do for stress, like just to wind down, reading a book, as they journaling, these are all things to relax the body.
Okay. And obviously, we've had you on before talking about your neurofeedback machine, and I would imagine that it's very good as well for helping people to regulate their sleeping patterns.
Yeah. Like it's the big thing for people with the neurofeedback, it helps people to stop the overthinking. So that allows them then to go to sleep quicker, and they find that they go into a deeper sleep, and then they have more energy in the following day, which then helps them be more productive, less irritated, less frustrated, and just find their day flows much easier. So again, it's what people experience is they have a better, deeper quality of sleep within your feedback, because once your brain never sends out a regulation, that's going to pretty much affect everything. It will affect your mood, affect anxiety levels, and affect your sleep. So by bringing your brain never sending back into regulation, it's going to positively impact everything in your life.
So, you know, I suppose this leads us on nicely to you have the neurofeedback machine, and you know, so how would people get in contact with you, Michael, to maybe help a little bit with their sleeping patterns and stuff?
Yeah, so they can check out my website. It is mindbodied, mindbodied.com, and there's information there. My number is 089-237-6673. And also as well, I have a sleep guide that people can download as well. So if they log on to sleep www.mindbody.com. They can download the guide there, and that's got tips there on things they can introduce into their sleep.
Okay, to help them. So that's a free tips and stuff like that on how to actually help people to get better sleep and stuff like that. So there's probably more stuff than just what you've mentioned so far on the radio.
Yeah, and it goes into a bit more detail as well. And like on my social media channels, I'm giving tips every day on different things for sleep, like consistent sleep schedules, going to bed and waking at the same time, because that helps with your natural sleep cycle as well.
Mm.
Creating a healthy bedroom environment that helps with sleep. So there's all little tips like that throughout the different weeks. So that's going on for like a couple of weeks, over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I've seen you on LinkedIn, and you know, so you pop up nearly every day now at this stage on my LinkedIn feed. So you've plenty of free information, which is great, like for people to actually help them to sleep better. And as we already mentioned in this show, you know, a good night's sleep affects every aspect of your life.
Like I suppose it's one of the things that people kind of put on the long finger when, you know, you've got a workload, heavy workload, you need to be getting stuff done. And sleep is kind of one of the things that is suffering from that workload, working longer hours and stuff like that.
Yeah.
However, getting good quality sleep will help people to function better, to get through their workload better and not overwhelmed. Like, so yeah, it's vital for nearly everything in your life.
Yeah. So, Michael, as always, thank you very much. Hopefully we'll have you on again some other time to talk a bit more about something else. So have a great evening, and I'll chat to you again soon. Thanks, Michael.
You too. Thanks for your time.
Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.